Good morning and welcome to Wednesday morning, February the 21st in 2024 on When I Rise. So we continue year B, the second Sunday in Lent, and on the Wednesday of the week, we usually try to pick up one of the extra passages that come from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary and this week of the church's calendar year. But in the season of Lent, there's only four per week, and so sometimes on the Wednesday, we have something like that. We have to pick up an extra passage, and so on this occasion, I'm just going through the book of Revelation, and we're in Revelation chapter 2. So let me read verses 8 through 11, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Write this to the angel of the church in Smyrna. These are the words of the first and the last, the one who was dead and came to life. I know you're suffering in poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those self-styled Jews. They are nothing of the kind. They are a Satan synagogue. Don't be afraid of what you're going to suffer. Look, the devil is going to throw some of you into prison so that you may be put to the test. You will have 10 days of affliction. Be faithful all the way to death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The second death will not harm the one who conquers. This is the word of God for us. All right, so this passage is interesting, right? And I think sometimes in our politically correct age, some of these sharp lines, these sharp edges that come from a correspondence like this kind of catch us off guard. Or maybe not. Maybe you're used to hard-hitting commentary, so this is just common parlance for you. But one of the unique features of the letter to the church in Smyrna is that there is no thing that the Lord is criticizing this church for. It's more of a warning-based letter, right? And so unlike its neighboring letters to the different churches in Turkey, modern-day Turkey, Smyrna needs to be comforted. And they need to be comforted in a very stark way because it looks like there's going to be some imprisonment of some of their members. We do know that Smyrna probably had a large synagogue at this time, and so it's not hard to imagine that as the gospel got to this part of the world and the preachers and teachers, maybe even apostles, got to these places and began to explain from Israel's scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah, that there would be a disagreement among them. Some probably embraced it by faith as they saw in other places, and others resisted. And maybe for a while they coexisted. You know, there was like this Christian church, this community of people who said that Jesus was Israel's Messiah. And then there are some who disagree with it, but then maybe at some point it took a dark turn, and those who were probably the majority, which were those who didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, began to turn on this Christian congregation. Those are stark language here of the Satan synagogue. We could say it's the capital S Satan synagogue, where the synagogue is masquerading like people of light, but they're actually people of darkness. Maybe the better rendering is this is an accusatory synagogue, because the word for Satan or the Satan or a Satan in the biblical language, both Hebrew and Greek, is this idea of an accusation or an accuser, like this gadfly who's always buzzing around you and trying to poke at your deficiencies and ultimately trying to ruin your credibility. So that's what's going on. And this is going to escalate. It's not just going to be a social upheaval, but now there's like the legal system is going to get involved. And Christians are going to be rounded up, maybe even with false charges of causing disorder in the streets. And so there's some promises that surround the warning. And ultimately, the promise is to endure until the end. And this is where we get like the local flavor that comes out in some of these letters. Smyrna, we know, is a city that was torn down and rebuilt. And so there's a sense of this refinement or this testing that's going to happen to the church. Is similar to the architecture of the city of Smyrna. There might have been some signs of the old architecture, but it was brought low and raised, but then it was built again. And because of that, there's like this newness where something was destroyed in its recent past, right? And so maybe their faith is going to be like that too, where they're going to go through this season of testing and there's going to be barely any signs of their, you know, of their young faith. And now they're going to have this mature faith on the other side of their suffering, right? We also know that this crown idea, this crown is something that many victors got in a sports contest. But they also called Smyrna the crown of architecture because of how stunning all of its architecture was. And so there's like this local flavor in this correspondence to the church in Smyrna. But ultimately, like, this letter is a microcosm of the whole book of Revelation itself. There's a common theme from beginning to end of Revelation, and that is imploring the church to endure to the end. If you endure to the end, you get a victor's crown. I don't know about you, but sometimes the life of faith is pretty easy. It's pretty ho-hum, right? We do the common things of faith. We read and we study and we serve and we go to church and we try to encourage other Christians around us. We engage in discussions, but there are times where we're buffeted by challenges, right? Maybe we are disagreed by family members, or our kids grew up and they have different ideas of faith, and so it tests our faith. Or we take on new responsibilities at work. We're in a new work group, and there's less believers there, and so we have to figure out, okay, how do I like fulfill my role in this, you know, job in the workplace, and be faithful when there's a lot of people who don't agree with me? And how do I be Christian, like, not in a nauseating way, but in a productive and maybe in an influential way? And so there's some trials and some challenges. So we can listen to this letter to the church in Smyrna. We can see that even in a season of accusation where people try to undermine what we think and believe and why we do the things that we do, instead of lashing out, we just take on the admonition of enduring into the end. We outrun the criticism. We bet on ourselves. We bet on our Lord. We trust the faith. We know that we're going to stand at the very end wearing the victor's crown because we trusted in the one who's able to hold us together, right? Yeah. So those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that we worship the one who endured all the way to the end. As the scripture says, Jesus, you endured the cross and you scorned its shame. And as you were raised and vindicated, you now wear a victor's crown. And we thank you that for ages upon ages, we will celebrate your victory, that it's a signpost that you're mending the whole universe and you're mending our lives too. God, we confess to you at times that we falter and we faint because being Christian sometimes is buffeted with challenges, and our lives are kind of turned upside down in certain ways and we're caught off guard. But we thank you that the work that you began in us, you're going to carry to its completion. Therefore, we have hope today. So as we place our own lives into your hands again, we just simply pray that you give us that endurance within our spirit, that we would keep our eyes fixed on you, that we would live with loving kindness and goodness towards all people. And I pray that as we trust in you and as we trust in your work in our lives, we will see ourselves ascending to the heights and enduring all the way to the end, so that we can glorify and praise you both now and forevermore. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.